The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments, so that you may love one another. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It's a tricky and perhaps fruitful thing to reflect on the context of Canada Day and our secular observance of this weekend as we come to worship here this morning. But it's tricky because Christianity so often and so often rightly has stood against the idea of nations themselves as being distractions, as being worldly preoccupations which pretend to be more durable and more just than they really are. And of course, we remember that our Savior himself was crucified and died a brutal death for the cause of the maintenance of a status quo of governance at the hand of an oppressive state. And nations are, after all, along with so many other embattled cultural institutions from the family to gender, social constructs. They are things which are passing away in theological language. And they have no absolute claim on the truth, although they sometimes might seem to make one. And while the idea of the nation as a force of power, as a way of ordering the world, may be a challenging one, there is something to be said for the power of image. The image of a nation which nurtures us or inspires us. The image of a nation which can ably steward the past and which can live into a future which is perhaps just a little bit better. The image of a nation as one means by which we love one another and endeavor, however falteringly, to bear good fruit and fruit that will last. And I find myself drawn to the image of Canada as a nation transformed by reconciliation, as a place where something new can emerge, as a place in which the presence of God from time immemorial can be felt and known tangibly. I would like to think that we can bear better fruit than that of a colony, a place whose job it is to extractively produce resources and wealth for someone else and somewhere else. I am drawn to the aspirational image of this as a nation which can be troubled by its past just enough to invent a radically transformed and hopeful and beautiful future. I don't know how we might do that. I certainly don't know whether we will do that.
But the image itself seems to hold within it something worth striving towards. And that's part of what images do. They call us to live, to develop, and to strive after things which are fundamentally elusive, but somehow still appealing and enticing. So many of us figure out who it is that we want to be when we grow up as kids from images. The image of a doctor, or the image of the hero, the image perhaps of the loving mother, the adventurous father. And we may, probably will, find with time that these images actually leave a lot out and are in some ways perhaps even deceptive or inadequate, but there is some gift, some precious power in their ability to inspire us, to form us, and to invite us to take risks in the cause of something that ultimately we have to really make our own. And in the end, our lives bear the fruit that is planted in the form of the seed of image. And the Swiss psychologist Carl Jung warns that role, one of those ways of inhabiting image, that role can become a substitute for really living life and for taking responsibility for your place in the world. It can seem to become enough that you are that thing and to not have to reflect very much beyond that. But fulfilling the image is not, in fact, the goal, even if it is at first the image that beckons us onwards. The image tells us that we could be a doctor, that we could be a parent, and that there is something worthy in that. Not in being possessed or constrained by role as we have received it, but by finding out what it would be like for us to be the doctor, for us to be the parent. And the promise of that is that we too can become something which seems at once impossible and enticing, invigorating and mysterious. And all of us really do become that to the world, to those among us, to younger generations. And the trick is for us at some point to realize that the image has fallen away and that what really matters to us is who we have become, who God has called us and equipped us to be. And so then on this long weekend, to be a Canadian, even the country of Canada itself, is not sufficient for its own sake and is not the purpose, the end towards which we work. But it might, rightly used, be something which calls us to some good and righteous end, which we might just be able to imagine. And that may even require us to subvert our expectations in the cause of the real core to which Christ calls us this morning, the call to loving one another. Think about the image of a doctor as we first encounter it as children, a role which is certainly formal and very much expert, larger than life, certain of exactly what it will take to heal us. And yet there are some moments, maybe very many moments, when the physician must let themselves be human, flawed, vulnerable, even uncertain, even as there are still moments in which they must allow for the patient to imagine them to be rather more than anyone could ever really be. But the core, the heart, the real purpose of that calling is to be for the patient, to meet and aid the one who suffers, and all of us suffer, and to use one's skill and oneself, one's very being, one's personhood, to affect their healing, whatever healing might mean. Because at some point the role has to fall away and yield to the real human core of relationship. The role has to get out of the way so that we can love one another. And you know, if it doesn't, that image of absolute assurance and all-powerful knowledge can become tyrannical for the doctor who knows better and yet still has to live with that projection upon them. And it can certainly become destructive for the patient when their experiences fall outside of that which the doctor can know and master. Likewise, there is something in the image of the kind and measured Canadian which can beckon us onward towards something really, truly, and deeply good, something that it just might barely be possible for us to find a way to inhabit. But it has its pitfalls and its traps too. The kindness can serve to mask insidious social divisions, and calls for a measured, even tone can cover up real, acute injustice. And the Christian calling, not the national calling, but the Christian calling, is, as ever, to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. It is to embrace the good always and always, always, to be aware of the bad, to see what can be gained without denying the cost. The crucifixion is bloody and brutal and is real violence and death, even as we proclaim the beauty and the light of the resurrection, even as Jesus tells us this morning that it is, in fact, the image of love itself. And so, too, we know very well, and more than we will know, that there are blood and beauty which fill the reality of life in this country, in the past, and in the present, and that there are things to mourn and things to give thanks for, and that these things are not pitted against each other, and these things don't somehow cancel out. Because truth, real truth, is not in the totting up, the final measuring of one thing against another, and working out where we stand. Are we good? Are we bad? We don't get to say either that the brutality was all worth it, so that I could live in wealth and peace. Life, real life, and real love are always in bothness, and Christ certainly is always in bothness, in the death and the resurrection, the brutality and the love. And there are terrifying risks to becoming identified with the role of citizen, the life of nation, and thereby losing sight of our commonality with all people, and perhaps even losing sight of our distinctiveness, our difference, our very real lives in which we can actually know and love one another. Our calling, the human calling, the calling from God to all people, is always, always to be a human, a person, to love one another, to exist in relationship, and to share our lives however fully we possibly can with and for our friends. But for that, for us, there is no perfect blueprint, no complete map, no absolute guide. There might just be an image, but that's about all. And now and then we do need our images. We do. They still continue to serve us well into the stretches of our lives. And we should love those images deeply for where they've taken us, for how they've formed us. And we also must hold them lightly. And so may we always know who and whose we are, and build a nation, a world in which every child matters, a world in which injustice is not swept away with haste, a world in which the brutal, broken echoes of the past can be named and seen and held, and maybe even healed. May we be bearers of God's image of love to one another, and let ourselves be unsettled and enticed by the image of a greater liberation somewhere further down the road than we will ever manage to make it. An image which is of a life worth aspiring to, good fruit worth endeavoring to grow. May we seek and serve the life of the kingdom, and be citizens and ambassadors always of our one true home, in that glorious place where there is always, for all, enough. Amen.